Encourage you to open your Bibles this evening to the New Testament. We'll be looking in some of the Gospels primarily this evening, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We'll actually begin in Luke chapter 1 this evening for one of our first points. I know we've been on this a number of weeks off and on, talking about the power of God and things in the Bible that talk to us about God's power over man and His greatness, and how God demonstrated His power through various ways in the Old Testament and even through the New Testament. This evening we're going to continue to look at a few things in the Gospels that illustrate God's power. He has all power in heaven and earth, and in many senses He worked through inspired men, those who preached the Gospel in the early days, the apostles that were called. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, so they had some powers that they were enabled to use to provide proof that they were true teachers of God. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised the apostles that He would send them the comfort of the Holy Spirit, power be upon them, and told them to wait there in the city, and they waited in Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had the power then to be able to speak in tongues, to be able to have knowledge, to be able to perform certain signs and wonders and miracles to confirm that what they were teaching was the truth, that it came from God. So that itself demonstrated the power of God. But let's look at a few things tonight just in the Gospels concerning Jesus, the Son of God, and His coming to this earth, and the forerunner to Jesus, John the Baptist, and some things that was done from God through the appearance of both John the Baptist and Jesus that shows God's power. And then also some things that Jesus did while He was on earth, as well as Peter and some of the other apostles, some things that they did that shows the power of God. In Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 45, we see certainly that God's power is demonstrated when Jesus was miraculously conceived in the Virgin Mary. She was told that that which was in you will be of the Holy Spirit, and she was told then that she would have a child, and it would be the Son of God that she would conceive in a miraculous way. Let's look to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, and look at this event. Now, there are those of our day and in days gone by who deny the virginity of Mary or the miraculous birth of Jesus or the fact that He was even the Son of God. But when we go back to what we talked about last Sunday evening, the fact that the Bible was written by those inspired men over a period of about 1600 years and nothing conflicts within itself, the Bible is in complete harmony, that in itself shows that certainly the things we read about that God did through His power were true. It was confirmed by men, and we see those that were even witnesses who, when these things were told, like to Mary and Elizabeth and to others, that when they came to pass, the people that were there that witnessed those things gave God glory. They were in awe of the fact that here's God demonstrating His power. But in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" In verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Now look at verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a child and shall call his name Jesus." Then in verse 32, he tells her that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now there's some prophetic things in this that are going to shortly come to pass. She's going to conceive. She's going to have a son, and he's going to be on the throne of David. He's going to be sitting over all at the right hand of God, looking over all things to the church. After his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, he sends back into heaven. But let's go on and let's see verse 33 there. In Luke chapter 1, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Remember, Mary was a virgin. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.' So here's a virgin, the Virgin Mary, who's being told now that she's going to conceive a child, and that which is conceived of you will be of the Holy Ghost. In verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. So here is Mary, a virgin, who's going to conceive of the Holy Ghost, and she's going to give birth to the Son of God as a virgin, and her cousin Elizabeth then, who is barren, is going to be going to have a son. He's going to be John the Baptist, that's going to be the forerunner to Jesus. So in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," and the angel departed from her. So when you give thought to what Mary heard, the angel told her, and her situation, and that she's going to conceive and bear a child, the Son of God, that's conceived in you of the Holy Ghost, and she doesn't know a man. Well, we see then that this was a miraculous conception. We're going to read some other verses, and we're going to see that certainly verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Remember now, her cousin Elizabeth is going to conceive a son in her, she's barren, but she's going to conceive a son in her old age, and he's going to be John the Baptist. She's already expectant with a child when Mary is told this. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So we see then the miraculous conception of Mary. We know then that certainly Jesus was born. He was born, and of the Virgin Mary. And so those things came to pass. So that's just another instance in the Bible that confirms God's power, being able to enable Mary, who was a virgin, to conceive a child and still be a virgin, and then give birth to Jesus. Well, another miraculous thought, and we see the power of God and the things that he was able to do, was when Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was unable to speak from the time that he was told that his wife Elizabeth was going to give birth to a son, and he'd be a forerunner to Jesus, when he was unable to speak until later, until the child was born, and God allowed him to speak then. So this again demonstrates the power of God. And we're going to get back to the birth of these children in a few minutes, but let's look at Luke chapter 1 and go back to verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now verse 7, remember we already been told that Elizabeth was barren in her old age. Verse 7, "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." Verse 11 of Luke chapter 1, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here's showing the power of God when Zacharias is being told what's going to happen. What's going to happen? His wife is going to have a son. He's going to be a forerunner to Jesus. In verse 18, notice Zacharias now, whenever he's told this. Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Well, you see, now here's another illustration of the power of God. He's told that you'll be mute and will not be able to speak. We're going down and read these next few verses. Verse 21, the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, verse 23, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Remember, she was well advanced in years and she was barren. She conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Well, let's look at verses 57 through 65 now of Luke chapter 1. Turn over there. Let's look at those verses. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Now remember what the angel had told Zacharias: you will be mute and you'll not be able to speak until the birth of this son. And remember the people that Zacharias met, he made signs to them and he was speechless because he was unable to speak. Verse 59 then of Luke chapter 1. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he should be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have them called, what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately, verse 64, his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then verse 65, then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. So you see, the power of God is illustrated when Mary was told that she would bring forth a son, and she was a virgin. She conceived as a virgin of the Holy Ghost, and she brought forth her son Jesus to be a Savior, still a virgin. Elizabeth was barren and well advanced in years, and she then conceived a son whose name was John, whose husband, Elizabeth's husband, was unable to speak until the time that they named him, and he was able to speak at that point. And so you see, God's power is demonstrated in how he can control things through his own way, through an angel speaking to someone, or God's own way through a prophet or whatever. This is the power of God illustrated. Well, before we get to the point of Jesus' healing, that's going to be our next point. But we go ahead and understand that certainly chapter 2 of Luke chapter 2, we're going to go ahead and see about the fact that here's this Virgin Mary who gave birth to her son, as the prophecy was told that we read at the beginning of the lesson. Luke chapter 2 verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And so Then there's the praise given, the glory in the highest of the birth of the Son of God through this Virgin Mary. So when we read the Bible and we study and we believe what God's Word says, we can see time and again from the creation all the way down to the Gospels how the power of God was demonstrated over hundreds and hundreds of years at different times and in different places through different means to different people. That shows again that God is all powerful and that He can work in His own way, in His own time, and make things work. So then, the birth of Jesus through the Virgin Mary, the birth of John the Baptist through Elizabeth, and his prophecy was fulfilled on him. He went forth and preached, proclaiming the one would come after him, that he was unable even to bow down and unlatch the latches of his shoes. He wasn't worthy. John went and preached as it was prophesied. And then we see that Zacharias then was able to speak when all these things were fulfilled. So again, the power of God being demonstrated in the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 now, back up to the first gospel, Matthew chapter 4 verses 23 through 25. And we see that certainly the power of God and the power of God through Jesus His Son was demonstrated in the fact that Jesus not only healed one person or one or two people, but we can go back and think about our studies we had with Brother Alan Guthrie when we studied the Gospel of John and all the miracles that Jesus performed. All the signs and wonders that He did that confirmed who He was. This in Matthew 4, 23 through 25 is a short reading, but in those few verses we see the power of God being demonstrated through His Son who had the power to do what? To heal all manner of diseases. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 23 and going through verse 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and He healed them. Verse 25, great multitude followed Him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So, why is it that people today can stand before us sometimes and say, I don't believe that God is real. I don't believe there's really a God. Or I don't believe that God is in control. Or some will say, I don't really believe that God has the power to control the creation and the things around us. So why should I believe in this Word of His? Well, when we read this Word and we look time and again at all these ways in which God's power was demonstrated, multitudes witnessed His power, multitudes witnessed the miracles, many over time and again were healed, demons cast out, the lame were healed, the blind were made to see, the dead was raised, the miracles of God through Jesus, God's power. God is all powerful, He's all wise, and He's all knowing. Well, go to Luke chapter 7 and let's note again God's power demonstrated in Luke 7 verses 11 through 17 when Jesus raised this widow's son. Luke chapter 7 and beginning in verse 11. Let's read these verses. Now it happened the day after that He went into a city called Nain. And many of His disciples went with Him and a large crowd. And when He came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Confirm some things before we go any further. Here's a man that's being carried out, and this man was dead. His mother was a widow. And there was a large crowd here. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Verse 14, then He came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried Him stood still. And He said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and He presented him to his mother. Another demonstration of the power of God through His Son Jesus. Verse 16. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Verse 17, and this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. The people in that day that witnessed this, they believe what they saw. They knew that what they saw was real, and it was a powerful action from some that had more power than man, and that was Jesus raising this man from the dead. The word was known, the word was spread. We ought to build our faith today on the Word of God again that has been existing all these years, and we go back and see God's power being demonstrated. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. John chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son. Now, notice how this takes place. John chapter 4, beginning of verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. I'll read that again. Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick, where? At Capernaum. When he heard that Jews had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Here's this man coming to Jesus and imploring that he would come down and heal his son. Look at verse 48. Let's look at the power of God through Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, verse 50, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Your son lives. You see, the power of God, Jesus having the power to be able to heal someone and not even be there where he was. Verse 52, and then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. Notice this. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So verse 53, the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. If we want to build our faith, all we have to do is read about the things that were done in the New Testament, the Gospels, the good news of the angels speaking to Mary and to Elizabeth, and the miracles that were performed through the birth of Jesus of the Virgin Mary, and the birth of John the Baptist through the barren mother of old age, Elizabeth, and Zacharias, who could not speak until his son was born, and Jesus healing. And Jesus healing all manner of sickness, and healing someone even when he was not in the presence of Jesus. But Jesus had that power to do so. Well, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, we had a very good study on this several months ago in Adam's class on Sunday morning. If you remember when we studied about this man being healed there at the pool, healing of the man at the pool, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. There's some power there. But verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him in verse 7 and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Let's look at the rest of these verses and conclude the thought of the healing of this man and what the Jews said about this. Verse 10, "The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is the Sabbath and it's not lawful for you to carry your bed.'" Remember, the Jews were limited on what they could do on the Sabbath, and carrying the bed wasn't one of the things they could do. Verse 11, "He answered them and said, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' Then they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' Verse 13, "But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well." So we see over time and again the miracles that were performed in the Gospels and by Jesus and others, we see God's power demonstrated. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 27, and let's go to the crucifixion. And this will be the last point of the lesson tonight, the Lord's willing. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 27, beginning in verse 45. We see that certain of the power of God was demonstrated whenever Jesus was going to be crucified. And whenever he was on the cross and when he died, the darkness that came over the land and the opening of the graves and the ones that came out of the grave, that is a miracle in itself. That shows the power of God. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, 'Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." Now, we see that darkness, let's go back up to verse 45, darkness the sixth hour of the day until the ninth hour. There was darkness over all the land. That shows the power of God and what He can do. Let's look at verse 51. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Again, the power of God. "And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." And verse 52. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." Verse 53, "And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" So when we think about just the stories that are told, the gospel stories, they're not stories, they are true events that were recorded. And we call them the gospel stories, the stories in the gospel, because they are that. They are told, they are true stories that are told of events that actually happen. And these things should build faith in us. They should build faith in anyone who would read the Bible and see the power of God and how God demonstrated His power in all these events. We'll look at one more tonight. We've got enough time to look at one other one. That is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7, in the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He was put in the new tomb that belonged to the rich man. And they rolled the stone up. They put guards there in front of the stone to guard him. But the power of God is shown in the resurrection. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him. Behold, I have told you." When you think about the power of God and the movement of the stone and the raising of Jesus from the dead, they knew he was placed in there. He was placed in there by the people. There was witnesses that saw him there, and they even placed the guards. Let's back up to Matthew 27, verse 62, where they sent to put guards there so that nobody can't come and remove the body and claim that he was raised. This is the Jews and people, and those put guards in place to try to make sure that he wasn't, body wasn't removed, even though he was miraculously raised from the dead. Verse 62 says, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, so the last deception will be worse than the first." Well, what happened? Verse 65, Pilate said to him, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. No man has the power to outdo God. No man has the power to prevent God from doing what he intends to do. He intended the whole time to raise his son, Jesus, from the dead. The stone was rolled away. The men that were there could do nothing, as if they were frozen, became as dead men. And Jesus came out of the tomb alive and walked and was seen by many witnesses. These are just a few of the many examples in the Bible that I'm afraid even in my lifetime I have overlooked the importance of reading the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation and missing the power of God and the creation and the flood, the crossing of the river, the crossing of the Red Sea, and all the things that God did through the ages for man. When all those men were destroyed, when Elijah went up against those false prophets. We see that down through the ages, God's power is proven over and over again. And right here in the New Testament, even more proof that God is powerful. We ought to believe in our God, who's our Creator. Our hands, we are in His hands. We don't have power of our own, but we have a will, and God allows us to do certain things, so we need to believe in Him. There's a few other things we want to look at in a later lesson. We'll go back and review some of the things we've talked about and then get three or four other examples in the New Testament of God's power as it was demonstrated. So I hope you won't get bored with the lessons we've had over the past several Sunday nights, off and on for the last couple of months, concerning the power of God, because we need to renew our faith. We need to keep our faith. We need to build our faith. And when we see what God has done and what He can do and what He will do, because He'll keep His word, there will be a time when He'll say to His Son, "Go and judge the world," and He'll come and all the graves will be opened, all the dead will be raised, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll all be judged, and there will be the parting into eternity for everyone, either good or evil, either to heaven or to hell. Let's believe God and obey Him. If you're here this evening and there's anything we can help you with in the invitation, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you haven't been baptized into Christ, then if you repent of your sins and make that good confession, you can be baptized and wash your sins away this evening. If you're here and you're out of something in your life that you need to correct in a public way, maybe you need the prayers of the brethren, then if we can help you with that, please come while Matthew leads us in the invitation song.